We need you to do at least two things: apply for FEMA individual assistance and use that website to help look for a location to stay. We'll keep adding to that website as more things become available. For those of you that may have been displaced work-wise, unemployment assistance is now available to businesses and residents whose employment or self-employment was lost or interrupted due to the hurricane. And if you're not eligible for regular or other federal reemployment assistance benefits, eligible Floridians whose employment or self-employment was lost or interrupted because of the hurricane can submit a claim at floridajobs.org, floridajobs.org. The county continues to operate 6 points of distribution in areas with serious flooding from Hurricane Helene, and people can visit these locations to receive free food, water, and tarps while they last. We have locations in St. Pete Beach, Treasure Island, Tierra Verde, Reddington Shores, and St. Petersburg. For those of you that perhaps lost your car, PSTA can help with transportation. We're actually running the trolley along the barrier islands to help get people there. And, you know, we also have other access to other types of transportation needs, so you can always call our county information center, and we can help get people hooked up with transportation. If you're not able to afford the bus fare, let the bus driver know, and we'll take care of you. You can find details on where these pod locations are at our website at disaster.pinellas.gov. As of this morning, we've distributed over 73,000 meals ready to eat, 124,000 cases of water, 1,600 pallets of tarps, and almost 5,000 pallets of ice. So the need is great in the community, and we appreciate everybody out there who is working to assist them. A family resource center has been opened by the Department of Children and Families at the Bridgepoint Church at 6690 Crosswinds Drive in North St. Petersburg. That location has food, water, diapers, wipes, and some cleaning supplies, as well as resource information for Activate Hope. Feeding Tampa Bay continues to work with our many food pantries in the community, and they've distributed over 25,000 meals over the last couple of days and working on distribution events all around the county. Remember, this is not just a barrier island event. This happened to all of our coastal communities. You can visit feedingtampabay.org to find a pantry near you. We also have that information on our website at disaster.pinellas.gov. And I know our communications department has been going out and giving flyers to hard-hit areas that may not be hearing this today, may not have access to phones or the internet. So we're getting that information out as many ways as possible. And I really want to talk about the stress of this event. It's been stressful for so many people. And unfortunately, we know that there are people that may be devastated now. They may not know what to do next. And we've heard before that there have been people that have taken their lives after disasters because they just feel so overwhelmed. And I want to make sure that everybody out there, you know, reach out, let us know if you need assistance. There's a disaster distress helpline that's open 24 hours a day. We have multilingual crisis counseling available. So if you're experiencing any emotional distress, please call or text 1-800-985-5990. You know, and if you see somebody that's breaking down or you see them struggling, you know, go up to them, help them out, help them get connected to the resources that we have available. We have a lot of assessment teams that are out in the community getting into the hardest hit areas. So please let us help get resources to you. If you see people in distress, you can report that. So we can do everything that we can to make sure that we're getting teams out there to assist everybody.
Thank you, Kathy. We will now go to Kelly Hammer-Levy. She's our Public Works Director with an update on storm debris and sand collection.
Good morning. I wanted to first start with our three resident drop-off locations. We have two active at this moment. One is at 13600 Icott Boulevard. The other is at the southeast corner of East Lake Road and Keystone Road in North County. We will have a third location. We are working to stabilize that site. It was flooded, and so it's a little too soggy at this time to use, but we are hoping that we will get that one up and running later this afternoon, and we'll be able to announce tomorrow. That site is in the unincorporated area of Seminole. So please, again, come to that website, pinellas.gov/debris, and we will have that information there for you. These locations accept three types of debris: vegetative debris, construction and demolition, or C&D, and white goods. C&D also includes flooded mattresses and furniture. White goods are your appliances and such. Things that have been showing up that unfortunately we cannot accept include items like propane tanks, chemicals, electronics. So please utilize the tool pinellas.gov/where, W-H-E-R-E, and there's a search tool. Type in propane tank. It'll tell you what your options are for disposing of that. Commercial hauling continues to be a challenge. If you are a commercial licensed and insured hauler, we would ask that you please at this time try to work closely with your normal debris management providers. We are actively working with the state and our partners to find other solutions. We understand the need is great. But as much as you can, please work with those partners to try to find legal solutions for disposing of that waste. We are having a lot of unlicensed activity going on at this time. I would caution residents that hire someone with a trailer who says, I can take your debris for a couple hundred dollars. We are finding this debris scattered throughout our communities and dumped in large piles. Individuals who are doing this, it's a third degree felony. So we're asking that you please stop. I want to give some context to the storm. Hurricane Irma generated approximately 600,000 cubic yards of primarily vegetative debris. We're dealing with a flooding event that is generating several million cubic yards of debris that is primarily construction and demolition and white goods. It's a very different challenge than we had during Irma, and so we need some different solutions. On sand, the county started operations on West Gulf Boulevard last night in Treasure Island. West Gulf Boulevard is currently walk-in, walk-out only, and residents have not had access to their homes by vehicle, and it's been very difficult for them to get contractors down there to help them. Our contractor is out there hauling that sand to a location where it will be processed, screened, and returned to the beach. We are actively working with the National Guard to consolidate the clean sand that Pinellas County and the Florida Department of Transportation has collected over the last several days. We have that material in several locations, and we will be working to move that sand to a consolidated location where, again, it can be properly processed, screened, and placed back into the beach. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew that we were processing that sand, and we have a plan for that. Now, we've received a lot of questions from private property owners. What do I do with my sand? And what do I do with sand that is dirty or stained? If your sand, we have been actively working with the Florida Department of Environmental Protection, and we need to have consistent practices from everybody. All right. So if your sand is clean, it looks like the beach sand that was there. It's white. It doesn't have nails and rocks and any other type of debris in it. It can be returned to the beach above the mean high water line. Debris does need to be removed. All right. So it's very important. And if you can put the picture up of the debris pile that was placed out on the sand there, you can see in that pile there's a bunch of sandbags, and we actually found some other debris in there. That cannot be placed on the beach. All right, so again, clean beach sand can go back above the mean high water line, but all of this debris must be removed. We are putting in place an inspection program, so please follow it. There are consequences for not following those guidelines, and we don't want to go that route, so please work with us. We are identifying two locations on our beaches. One's towards the northern part of the beaches south of the Sand Key Bridge, and another will be about halfway down, where if you don't have access to the beach, you can have your designated contractor bring that sand to the location, both clean or what we're calling dirty sand. It's mixed with dirt. It doesn't look like the beach sand that you typically see. We will announce that later today, where those locations will be and how we can help residents address their sand challenges. And just an additional point, the debris discussion that the information I just provided is specifically for unincorporated residents. If you live in a city, the city has your cities have posted different information about when they will start their own neighborhood collections or where to they have drop-off sites. Please go to their website. Also, our debris hauler has already started in neighborhoods in the county. We are up in the north communities of Ozona, Crystal Beach, and West Palm Harbor today, West Leelman, and unincorporated Seminole. Our website, again, continues to be updated, pinellas.gov/debris, with additional locations. We also have resources out in the field talking with people, providing you information on the proper sorting procedures. It's incredibly important. I know it's frustrating. You've already put your debris out, and now we're asking you to handle it again, and I'm sorry. But if it's not sorted properly, our FEMA contractors cannot take this debris and take it to our site for disposal. So please help us help you. We have staff out there stopping into these neighborhoods today. Again, they were there yesterday, and we're going to continue to be there to answer your questions, talk with you about it, and try to help you manage this. We want to get it out of your property as soon as possible, but we're going to all have to be patient. This is a huge effort to get all of this debris out of our communities, and if we can get it properly sorted, we can get it out faster. So I thank you very much, and again, we're very sorry for everything that you're going through, and we're doing our best to help you.
Thank you, Kelly. We will now go to Jeremy Wu, Pinellas County Utilities Director.
Good morning, Jeremy Wall. I'm the Pinellas County Utilities Director, and I have a few significant updates to share with you this morning. As of this morning, 10:30, Pinellas County Utilities has rescinded the boil water notice advisory for St. Pete Beach, Treasure Island, and Tierra Verde. Potable water service has been restored across the Southern Barrier Island cities. There are still parts of the Sunset Beach area of Treasure Island that may have individual water services turned off due to this amount of sand and debris that are still piled along the right-of-way and covering our water meter valves. For areas where potable water has been restored, your water pressure may not be as high as you're accustomed to. We are asking people, as our crews are continuing to repair pipes and services, to be mindful of the amount of water they're using and to not be use excessive water of appliances, dishwashers, clothes washers, laundry, washing your cars, watering your lawns, etc., with potable water. Also impacting the pressures along the South Barrier Islands is our Gough Beach water booster station is still damaged due to the flooding and wave actions. We are currently repairing this water booster station, and we'll have more updates in the coming days. Pinellas County Utilities customers will continue to be notified through our text and email alerts of any significant updates to the water system, but please keep in mind, we are notifying the account holders for these water accounts, so if you live in an apartment building or in a business or a renter, please contact your landlord or the account holder for your water system. We are continuing to ask customers to conserve water across our entire service area, not just the beaches. as we are bringing our utility operations back into normal. We still have not inspected the entire sewer system services, and as we expect, there will be some lingering debris and blockages throughout the sanitary sewer service. So if, where possible, please limit household water to normal operations. Of course, as we bring the sewer system and finish our inspection throughout the systems, we will let you know through the same notification process. Now that we have been able to get our potable water service restored, there may still be breaks on the customer side or the private side of the water meters. This may affect individual property owners, businesses, homes, etc. It will be up to the individual property owners to assess the damage within their properties. You will need to hire a licensed plumber to repair your water lines, and Pinellas County can help you with that process and identifying how to obtain a licensed plumber. We have been handing out our crews, Pinellas County Utility crews, have been handing out informational flyers detailing how we can get you in contact with these resources and inspect your damaged water service lines. Also, you can contact our customer, Pinellas County Utilities customer service line at 727-464-4000, and we can help connect you to those resources. Also, should you have any other questions about your individual customer account, please call our customer service line at that same phone number, and we can assist you. I would like to sincerely express my appreciation for our regional partners, including Toho Water, St. Petersburg Utilities, Dunedin Utilities, Hillsborough County Utilities, and the other state resources that have been assisting Pinellas County Utilities for the past week to bring our system back into more normal operations. We thank you for your patience during this time, and I want to thank our Pinellas County crews that have been working tirelessly around the clock for nearly a week to get this potable water restored. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy. We will now go to questions from media in the room, followed by questions from media partners joining us via Zoom. If you are joining us via Zoom, please raise your hand if you have a question, and we will unmute you so you can ask your question at the appropriate time. So let's go with media in the room. Any questions?
My question about the debris is, it came from a viewer. What happens to all of the debris? Because obviously there's tons and tons of stuff that wouldn't normally be coming into the system.
Yeah, that's part of the challenge here in Pinellas County is our landfill is limited, and it's not authorized to accept storm debris. So that is something that we'll have to go – we're going through the process now is we're going to have to identify the ultimate endpoint for all this. So right now it's collection and storage, and then we have to identify locations where this will be ultimately hauled to. Hopefully, a lot of the white goods and things like that, there's recyclable metals and things like that. But the rest of it, yes, we're going to have to find a final home for all of this debris to be continued.
Any other questions? All right, let's go to Zoom.
We have a question online from Tracy McManus of the Tampa Bay Times.
Tracy, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for your time. I was wondering if Kelly could actually provide a little bit more information about the specific reasons why the commercial and private haulers are not able to dump storm debris at the Pinellas County Solid Waste Disposal Complex. Is it because of the volume? Does it have to do with FEMA and insurance claims? We're getting conflicting information about the reasons, so I just wanted to get accurate information about the reason for that.
So I would defer the specifics to the director, Paul Sacco, but generally, every solid waste facility has permits to accept certain things, and our solid waste facility is not a facility that normally accepts this type of material. Also, our landfill has a very limited lifespan. So if we were to accept all of this debris, we might not have any space left after the storm. So that is the challenge with our, you know, some of the challenge with our landfill. And I would encourage you to reach out to Paul Sacco if you want those details. But our landfill is not set up to handle this magnitude of a storm and still maintain services for general services for all of the solid waste needs in the county. As far as accepting the material at our drop-off sites, yes, it is a FEMA requirement that we document where all of this debris is coming from. So the county is responsible for picking up this debris within the unincorporated area of the county. So we have to document that debris actually came from the unincorporated area of the county. Now, if you hire someone with a truck and a trailer and you want to ride with them to the location and show your ID and say, this is my debris and this individual's hauling it for me, that's perfectly fine. We will absolutely accept that. The challenge has been that commercial haulers have been showing up at these locations with multiple households full of stuff, and we can't document where it came from. The resident isn't with them, and we can't accept it based on the FEMA reimbursement requirements. So, again, we are looking for other alternatives. We've been working on it for at least 24 hours now to try to help find another solution for our commercial haulers. And we've been discussing also with the state what options we have available. Again, I want to go back to those stats. We're talking about several million cubic yards of primarily C&D and white goods from this storm. It's an unprecedented flood event for Pinellas County, and that is a huge challenge, as we do not have these large disposal sites in Pinellas County.
Thank you, Kelly. Any other questions from Zoom?
We have a question online from Catherine Barn.
Go ahead, Catherine.
Hi. Yeah, this is Catherine from Axios. Thank you guys for keeping us posted. I'm wondering if Kelly can talk a little bit more about the sand as it relates to the emergency beach erosion control project the county recently completed. Is that part of why there was so much sand? And does the county think the dunes did their job during Helene? And then finally, I spoke with a Bel Air Beach resident yesterday who was of the opinion that the dune restoration did more harm than good, considering how much sand has ended up in people's homes and yards. How would you respond to that?
You know, I met with the Department of Environmental Protection about this, and this, you know, they said this is an unprecedented, what we're calling washover events, event. We have sand all over areas where we actually had no sand in the first place. Sunset Beach was completely eroded back, and the dunes were already gone before Helene hit, and yet they are buried under feet of sand right now. As far as that, it's a very complicated coastal issue. We are a very sand-rich area here. There is a lot of sand offshore that can be transported inshore. We are not the only community that experienced this. The city of Bradenton Beach also had a massive washover event, and all of their sand ended up in their backyards and in their parking lots and all over their roads. It's not simply the fact that we had sand on the beach that contributed to this. It was a massive washover event. The surge was between 7.5 to 7.8 feet in some locations where we measured high water marks. It's just an extraordinary event. So I don't think that I don't believe that having those dunes was a bad thing. Or contributed to more problems. There was so much sand that came in that where dunes weren't. So, again, we're working very diligently to find to move this sand out. We've been working with the DEP on a local sand management strategy. We have the National Guard coming in to help us move sand to locations where we can then get it back into the beach system. But it is a very heavy lift to do this.
Thank you.
So I had another question for a viewer, particularly about the sand on Sunset Beach. And you just kind of laid it out about how you're bringing in National Guard, other resources. But this man is asking because he has feet of sand piled up in front of his home, and he can't get in and out of his home. Do you have any idea what the timeline is going to be?
So that's West Gulf Boulevard, and our contractor, Gator Dredging, arrived on site last night, and they've started moving the sand this morning. Their plan is to have that road, that as much of that sand as possible, consolidated to the south end of the island by Friday. So that is our plan. We're working towards that. Obviously, there are some challenges out there. There are buried fire hydrants. There are debris. You know, residents are trying to get that stuff out of their house. So it's made removing that sand from in front of their homes a little bit more complicated, which may slow things down. But the contractor would like to have the majority of the right-of-way cleared and access restored by Friday.
Any other questions?
We have one remaining question online from Gabriella Paul with WUSF.
Go ahead, Gabriella.
Hi. Thank you guys for the time and information. I have a question probably for Kathy Perkins. I was wondering if you can give us a sense of just how many people are displaced, and I think you said probably couch surfing, staying with friends and family. About how many people are in that position outside of those 100 in the shelters, and then how many units has Pinellas been able to locate on that online? You mentioned the housing options. What does that look like?
Yeah, I don't know that we have a good feel for how many people have been displaced. I'll tell you, the population in the level A evacuation zone is 322,000 people. So almost a third of our county was in areas that was impacted. So, and this is where that FEMA data really helps tell us, paint a better picture for what's going on, who needs assistance out there. So that's why we're continuing to try to get teams out to every area to get a better feel for that. I don't have the exact number on the hotel rooms offhand. I'll be happy to follow up with you, though.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Gabriella. Any other questions? No other questions online at this time.